You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
This segment is brought to you by Mirae Asset Investment Managers India Private Limited. In today's time, investing has become paramount for securing a financial future. Through investing, we can not only achieve our financial goals, but also protect our funds for the longer run. However, investing alone is not sufficient. You need the right investment plan that will act as a roadmap to help you manage your money. If you're a beginner like me or someone who gets overwhelmed with so many investment products and plans, then this episode is just for you. Today, we have an expert who will help us decode all the complexities of finance to empower us on our investment journey.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Hi Siddharth, welcome to Why Not Mint Money.
Thank you Radhika for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. Siddharth is a fund manager and the head of ETF product at Mirae Asset Investment Managers, India Private Limited. And today he will shed some light on some of the intriguing investment strategies. So Siddharth, let's start with the basics. What is multi-factor investing and why has it gained so much attention in recent years?
Sure, Radhika. So what I'll do is I'll first explain what is factor investing. And then in that answer itself, you will understand why multi-factor investing is getting popular. So I think audience already know what passive investing is all about. It's about tracking a market segment or a sector or a theme, etc. Whatever the underlying index does, ETF or index fund mirror that. By mirroring the underlying portfolio, they seek to generate similar returns. Now, in factor investing, instead of simply selecting stocks based on market cap, you try to select stock based on certain factors or certain parameters. Let's say these factors typically are quality, it can be value, it can be low volatility, it can be high dividend, or it can be momentum or alpha.
Okay.
The idea is that by picking companies which are good on these factors, you are able to generate a portfolio behavior which aligns with those factors and which aligns with your investment objective. I'll take two examples. For example, let's say a momentum based, factor-based investment will typically pick companies from a segment based on their recent price performance. Let's say recent 3 month or 6 month or 6 month or 12 month price performance. So whichever is doing well from a returns point of view, those stocks will be selected. So here you are basically investing in stocks which are doing well from a return point of view. So you expect your portfolio will do well when there is a broad rally in the market. But it will typically come at a higher risk also, because momentum can do bad in market corrections. Similarly, you may want a lower volatile portfolio and you may want a fund which picks, let's say, 30 stocks or 40 stocks based on lower volatility. So whichever stocks has lower volatility in a given segment will be chosen, and then that fund is expected to have more sturdy behavior, especially during volatile times, and your risk is will be on the lower side, hopefully, and that is what that portfolio will behave from a risk point of view, and that is what you will sort of get by investing in those factor-based funds. So this category as a whole has become very popular because it allows you to invest in a portfolio where companies are selected based on these factors, right? Either quality or high dividend or low volatility or value, etc. They tend to behave in a manner in which you expect these factors to behave. And then hence the performance is as per your investment objective. So globally around 15% of ETF AUM is based on these single factor based products. Now coming to multi-factor, multi-factor became popular, or people started thinking about multi-factor because they want to remove the cyclicality which is associated with factor. Like I said, that that quality-based factor will be more sturdy during bad times, right? It will have lower drawdowns. It will have lesser risk, etc. But it may or may not participate in a broad market rally. Whereas on the contrary side, momentum will perform hopefully better in a broad market rally, because you are picking stocks based on their stock performance, but it may fall higher when there's a market correction, right? So people said, okay, quality is doing good in bad times and momentum is doing well in good times. Why not combine them and reduce that cyclicality of the portfolio, so that I am compromising a bit based on individual factor performance, but on an overall basis, I'm getting a more stable portfolio. Hopefully momentum will help me get higher returns in good times, and hopefully because I'm using quality also, the portfolio will be more sturdy and do not fall as much as a momentum only portfolio would have fallen. So that is how multi-factor investing is getting popular. So you mix typically sorts of complementary factors together. You mix, let's say, alpha plus low vol, you mix quality plus momentum in order to have sorts of lower cyclicality in the fund, and that is why they are becoming very popular. And we have, as I mentioned, around 50 plus smart beta products or factor based product, out of which I think few are now based on multi factors also.
Great. So you spoke about different factors like quality, momentum, value, and I'm guessing these factors do play a major role when it comes to maintaining a portfolio. So Siddharth, I would like to ask you that, can we maintain or can we control these factors?
So, see, all these factors have been decided after a lot of research.
Okay.
After seeing historical performance of these factors over a long period of time. So quality, where companies are chosen typically based on their profitability, financial health, earning stability, have seen to sorts of have lower drawdown in bad times.
Okay.
And have a good upside also when markets are doing well, like you expect a quality company to behave. A less volatile companies are typically shown to be again more sturdy during bad times, and by falling less, they are typically expected to generate better returns over a longer period of time. Same you can see say about value, that typical value is chosen based on price to earnings, price to book, price to sales, etc. And they tend to do very well when there's a broad market recovery rally. So these factors are not like they're not generated out of a wind, or it's not a figment of imagination. There has been a lot of backtesting done, a lot of observations have been made, and these factors, Radhika, have been used on the active side also. So there is a performance history associated with it, and we have seen more often than not that these factors have tend to behave in which as per our expectation. Having said that, nothing happens for 100% of time. So typical, yeah. I think 9 out of 10 times you will see them behave as per expectation. I think 8 out of 10 times or 9 out of 10 times. It's pretty straightforward that any index fund or ETF simply mirror the underlying index. So let's say Nifty 50 consists of 50 companies. So the ETF or index fund will buy all the 50 companies in an exact weight proportion as they are present in the underlying index. Okay. So for example, if HDFC Bank is 12% and Reliance is 10%, your fund also will buy 12% of HDFC and 10% of Reliance. There's no sorts of fund manager discretion of deviating from the weights. By doing that, the idea is to generate returns which the underlying index is generating. It is as simple as that. And maybe you got recommended the Nifty 50 fund because large cap space, we are seeing consistently that active fund managers are struggling to generate outperformance, especially post cost basis, which is why I think people say that why should I take a fund manager risk, or why should I pay 1% or 2% of expense ratio when I'm not sure of outperformance, right? So it's better to take investment in a Nifty 50 ETF or index fund and get that market return.
Great. It is apparent that the wealth industry is growing at a breakneck speed. Siddharth, what is your view on the wealth industry in India?
I think it's a phenomenal innovation which is happening in the wealth side. We have wealth across segments, right? It's related to a simple investing, right? Making investment easy, making all your information, portfolio information, investment information at a single place. It can be as simple as that. It can involve suggestions also. It can involve AI-based portfolio creations also. It can involve algo-based execution also. So there are a lot of innovative things which are happening. I think it is very good. It is resulting in making things simple on the one hand, and also offering a lot of innovative solutions to investor on other hand. And thirdly, also, I think information and data is so easily available to investor these days. I think it is helping them to take very good informed call. So I think a wealth industry is a boon in these times which is helping investors regarding investments, regarding information, regarding consolidating data, investment data, etc. So I think there's a lot of long road ahead, because if you compare with what is happening in US, they are ahead in terms of, let's say, AI based applications in the wealth industry. But I think soon we'll hit that milestone also.
Okay, great. So now we spoke about different factors. We spoke about the wealth industry. Now, according to you, what are some of the key principles that individuals should consider when it comes to building and managing their wealth?
I think, Radhika, the most important thing is to get the portfolio allocation right.
Okay.
I think choosing the right fund should come secondary, because ultimately difference between a fund which you have chosen and a fund which is, let's say, the best performing fund may not be that much. It can be, but let's say it is not that much. But the error which you can make by simply bad allocation can be significant. So you should understand your risk profile, what you are getting into. I'm like, we were talking about factor investing, multi-factor investing, all this sounds very good, but it won't make sense unless until you know what you're getting into, and what you're getting into aligns with your investment objective. So simply look at portfolio creation, have an allocation in a large cap fund, large cap segment, mid cap segment, small cap segment, some bit into commodities, international funds, and debt also, depending at what age you are, what are your requirements, what sort of goals you have in terms of your investments. And I think that should be the main focus. And then obviously you can play around that, but build the portfolio, do the right allocation, and do it on a consistent basis. I think timing the market once you have decided what your portfolio allocation should be is probably the worst thing which a person can do.
As Siddharth said, portfolio allocation is a must. Now, Siddharth, let's talk about the Small Cap 250 Index. What makes this index unique, and why should investors be drawn to it?
This index, which was newly launched by National Stock Exchange, am I right? You are referring to the Small Cap 250 Momentum Quality 100 Index, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so it is India's first multi-factor index in small cap segment.
Okay.
So at the very start of the podcast, we talked about how multi-factor can help in fast picking stocks, and then because there are two factors involved, it cancels out the cyclicality also, right? So Radhika, when it comes to small cap investment, if I ask you, and I'm going to give answer also, so don't answer. typically you will say that most important thing when it comes to factor, when it comes to small cap investing, is returns, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully you will say, Siddharth, if this fund is generating returns, hopefully it has good quality companies also, because you are concerned about quality in small cap companies, right? And third will be that let's hope that it is liquid enough so that when I want to take out the money, I don't face any issues in terms of portfolio liquidity.
Yes, I think small cap also gives the good return, best returns when it comes to only talking about returns.
Yeah, it depends from a cycle to cycle, but in a long-term view, in a long-term investment horizon, typically it should, but yeah, it depends from cycle to cycle. Again, that is why portfolio allocation is so important, right?
I have invested on small caps, so...
No. Hopefully it does, but yeah, there are phases when it will do bad. There are phases when it will do extremely good, like it is doing in last 1-2 years.
Yeah.
But you have to be invested to gain that experience, right? And hopefully in long term, they are expected obviously to do better than mid caps and large cap. So what NSE has done is that they have culled out companies from the small cap 250 index, which is the broader index, based on liquidity, momentum, and quality metrics. So they first remove companies which are illiquid.
Okay.
And then they select 100 best companies based on quality ranking as well as momentum ranking. So your portfolio is getting created based on companies which are sturdy as well as which have a reasonable momentum also, so that you are able to capture the upside when market is doing well and not fall as much as the market is falling in the bad times.
Yeah. So Siddharth, Mirae Asset has a global presence and manages a diverse range of investment products. What factors does the company prioritize when selecting investment opportunities?
So I assume that you're talking about how do we decide which fund to launch, etc. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. And
about the investment products.
Okay. So see, Radhika, we believe that we are product manufacturers, right?
Okay.
We believe that we should provide good investment products in any segment which is investable. Right. And then it is up to the investors and advisors to pick up the right offering. So, for example, globally, we manage around 590 ETFs. We manage around $109 billion in AUM. So we have ETFs on artificial intelligence. We have ETFs on US large cap, we have ETFs then on metaverse, we have ETF then you won't believe on marijuana companies also, we have ETFs on blockchain, we have ETFs on electric vehicles, we have ETF on lithium and battery tech, etc. So see, idea is to provide options to investors, and then I think as we mentioned that now people are savvy enough to know what they want. So yes, your portfolio allocation should be robust. It should be on large cap, mid cap, small cap, etc. But then some exposure can be given to these, let's say, emerging themes. So why not have AI based fund or funds which are investing in getting exposure to lithium and battery tech, fintech, etc. So As Mirai, we believe in providing solutions, right solutions, hopefully the best solutions. Let's say, for example, in small cap space, the question is, should we launch a fund with a single factor or a multi-factor, or do it based on plain vanilla index? That's the call we take, which is the right option. But we will definitely have something, hopefully, on all the investable segments as an option for the investor.
Siddharth, you mentioned a couple of ETF products. I would like to know, what strategies do you consider when designing and managing ETFs?
So when it comes to ETF, Radhika, I only need to sort of strategize how best I can capture a particular segment or a theme or a sector.
Okay.
For example, let's say we have Nifty 50 and Next 50 ETFs. Their idea is to just provide simple, plain vanilla solution to investors who want to take exposure to large cap segment in a very cost efficient manner. Then we manage a Nifty 200 Alpha 30 ETF, which picks 30 stocks which are generating excess return over the market from large and mid cap space. And that, as I mentioned while talking about momentum, it works like momentum in a better manner because it is rebalanced more frequently. Weights are purely based on the outperformance, etc. So it has generated good returns, but come at higher risk. Now in small cap, we can launch, we are in process of launching a multi-factor based product because we believe that something on the Nifty small cap 250 benchmark could have been illiquid, could have contained a lot of sorts of companies which have quality concerns on it, and from a return generation point of view also was not very attractive. So we obviously look at simple solutions also, Radhika, but we are never shying away from innovation. So we have, for example, FANG Plus ETF, which invests in just 10 US listed big tech companies. We have, in fact, India's only artificial intelligence ETF. We have a global EV and AI ETF fund of funds. So we obviously look at options. Wherever simple solution work, we do simple solution. Wherever it requires sorts of creating those strategies, we do that also. So product strategy is simply designing the best product and then leaving up to the investor who pick it based on their risk profile or investment objective.
Clearly, the investment landscape is constantly evolving. Now let's talk about new fund offerings. Tell me, how do they fit into the broader investment landscape?
There can be two type of new fund offering. One is sorts of a me too product, right?
Okay.
And there you have to gauge what is it bringing up different to already cluttered table, right? Is it low cost? Is the strategy completely different? Can I expect it to outperform, etc.? So those sort of questions should come. And the second sort of NFOs are typically, which is completely new, right? Which caters or sorts of that sort of product doesn't exist in the market itself. And you create a market afresh. For example, we launched FANG Plus ETF a couple of years back. There was no product as such in the market. So there was no competition. The merit was obviously about how the strategy will work. It's a different product. How will it behave? And it got a lot of support and investment from the investment community. And we had a good NFO. Then, for example, we are in process of launching one ETF in a segment. While this ETF is based on a different strategy, it is going into a me too segment. Right there we have to pitch how different this fund is compared to other, how different the investment philosophy and strategy is. And whereas, let's say if I would have been launching a Nifty 50 ETF, which we already have, I would have probably talked about cost, etc., and other merits. So NFO is all about providing investor option if you are coming out with a unique product. Otherwise, obviously, trying to provide something different, either from a cost point of view or from an investment philosophy point of view, to obviously gain investor attention.
Well, I guess the investment landscape is really fascinating and there's so much to learn about different investment plans and opportunities. Thank you, Siddharth, for sharing your valuable insights on multi-factor investing, ETFs, different kind of factors, especially for mere mortals like me. And I have thoroughly enjoyed this episode and I hope our listeners enjoyed this too. Thanks for coming on Why Not Mint Money.
Thank you so much, Radhika, for having me here, and I hope I was able to answer questions as simply as possible. Love to come back some other time.
Same here. Thank you so much.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.